It's been hot down under, like record-setting hot. Australia has seen a heat wave that caused temperatures and wildfire concerns to rise. Sound familiar? Arizona is, of course, no stranger to hot, dry summers. And with me to talk about some of those similarities between the two desert areas is Dave White, a fellow at the Global Security Initiative at ASU. And Dave, are there warning signs you've seen in Australia recently that make you think about Arizona?
Absolutely. And so the intense and extreme heat wave that Australia has experienced over the last several weeks is one of the most significant in their recorded history, with temperatures rising to over 47 degrees Celsius, 116 degrees Fahrenheit. And this is indicative of both the rising temperatures associated with global climate change, as well as the climate that's associated with this arid continent.
Have there been any efforts to deal with this in Australia that people here haven't thought of or haven't tried yet that maybe we could be looking at?
We're learning quite a bit from Australia, in particular the way that they dealt with what was called the Millennium Drought, which was an extended period of time right around the turn of the 21st century when they had dealt with more than a decade of drought and really transformed their water management system in response to that water shortage. So here in Arizona, we've been working with universities and with water management agencies in Australia to learn from their experiences to see what can be applicable both in terms of dealing with water scarcity as well as extreme heat in our arid desert environment.
What are some of the kinds of things that have been done over there that people are looking to maybe import here?
Well, one of the most important things is a recognition within society that a significant transformation is necessary. The stress of the drought and the stress of the extreme heat have really raised the awareness among the public of the need for solutions. And in response to that drought, Australia significantly reduced their per capita water demand by a variety of conservation strategies and new policy changes and new legal arrangements to reallocate the existing and scarce supplies.
Given the record heat that Australia has been seeing recently, is there anything in the weather patterns or anything climatologically that concerns you about the upcoming summer here?
Well, we've seen the last 3 years be globally the highest mean temperature ever recorded. 2017 was the hottest. That replaced 2015 and 2016 before it. That's the first time in the modern era where we've seen this pattern. We've seen 16 of the 17 hottest years ever recorded since 2000. And so the evidence is quite compelling that the global mean temperature is rising, that this is associated with human activity through the release of greenhouse gas emissions, and that this will cause a sort of multiplying effect on regions like southern Arizona, central Arizona, which are already arid and prone to high temperatures in the summer. So it is concerning, and it's something that we need to adapt to and to engage in strategies to mitigate against those challenges.
Concerning, but you don't sound terribly surprised.
I'm not terribly surprised. We are in the midst of about 16-year-long drought in the southwestern United States, with only a couple periods of temporary relief during that time. And so this is entirely consistent with both the projections that have been made over the last several decades about the effects of global climate change, as well as the observations, the empirical observations of what we've been seeing on the ground, so to speak. And so it's not surprising. It is concerning.
Have there been technological advances either in Australia or anywhere else that's been dealing with water issues and heat issues that could potentially be useful here?
These two issues, heat and water, are highly interconnected in arid environments like both Australia and Arizona. What we need to do is we need to develop strategies that are efficient in both ways so that we conserve water, but also that we mitigate against extreme heat. And so that takes careful planning, and it takes an understanding of the dynamics and the interplay between heat mitigation and water conservation.
Do people tend to realize that those two issues are as connected as they are? I mean, we talked about education at the beginning, mm-hmm. but is that one of those things that you need to remind people of?
I think intuitively people understand that water and heat are interconnected because many of the highest water-using aspects of people's lives in central Arizona would be the grass at their homes, the swimming pools, the shade trees. And so I think intuitively they understand that we use water to cool our microclimate, to cool the area around our home and to provide relief from that. What we're trying to do is to improve the way that we use that water very efficiently to get the maximum cooling effect with the least amount of water applied.
How much of this is on technology, do you think? How much is on us to change our behaviors? How much is on government to change policy?
That's a really good question, because these are all of the above types of solutions. We need to change individual behaviors. We need to change market policies, enact incentives, enact regulations. We need to advance entrepreneurial approaches to improve technology. All of these aspects are part of the solution to mitigate the effects of global climate change and to ensure that the future that we live in is one that is socially, economically, and environmentally sustainable.
Dave White is a fellow in the Global Security Initiative at ASU. Dave, thanks a lot.
Thank you.